This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone! Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind! Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere! And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We almost had, in my opinion, one of the biggest upsets in Pittsburgh sports history today. Robert Morris was a 21.5-point underdog against Alabama. Down 4 at the half, took the lead in the second half, fought tooth and nail the entire game, right there to the bitter end. Phenomenal game. The entire crowd in Cleveland got wrapped up into it, cheered for Robert Morris, believed in Robert Morris, got behind in Robert Morris. In the end, 98-81 was the final score, but definitely a game that program can be super proud of and something absolutely to build on. We've been lucky over the years to build a relationship and friendship with Andy Toole, the longtime coach of Robert Morris, and he's coming back from Cleveland right now and joins us on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Andy, how you feeling right now?
Proud and disappointed all at the same time. Just proud of the effort that our guys played with and the competitive spirit they had, but obviously disappointed that we weren't able to get it done.
What's the most disappointing part of it for you, Andy? And then I'll ask you the proud part.
The disappointing part is the loss. I mean, we're a competitive group, and you know, we respected Alabama. We knew what they were going to bring to the table, and you know, the disappointing part is a couple of the things we let them get away with in the first half that we tightened up in the second hurt us. And, I think as you're getting into the, you know, getting comfortable in those kind of games, I think we had a couple plays that we would like to have back that we've made during the course of this year that we weren't able to get done today. And then, then you're in a little bit of a hole and you got to continue to try to fight uphill. And again, credit our guys. They did that and then some, but you know, just came up a little bit short.
Anything you're going to second-guess yourself on or kick yourself on as you go through, like, the autopsy of this game, Andy?
The body's still warm, so it's a little hard to do the autopsy right now. But, you know, I'm sure we'll go back and look and see if there was a couple things we could have done differently that would have maybe helped us,
yeah,
you know, in whether, you know, being a little more efficient offensively or, you know, taking away, you know, some of the lobs and stuff that they were able to get early in that game. Obviously, it's stuff that we talked about but weren't able to get done. So was there a different strategy we could have tried to execute that would have helped? I don't know. But as we as we review it, I'm sure we'll go through all those things just like we do every year.
Is that something that you think was more of like a teaching point during the game that you had to reinforce to your guys, or did you have to make an adjustment based on the way that they got the ball inside, Andy?
A little bit of both. You know, a little bit of both. You know, it was something that we were trying to discuss as we were going two timeouts. And then in the second half, we made a little bit of an adjustment. I think that helped us, just got us out of rotation some. But, you know, again, Alabama's 91.5 points per game. They played the fastest pace in the country. They're good at what they do for a reason, because they do it well. And so you need to have a Herculean effort at times in order to slow them down. And, you know, at one point I looked up there, and I think when we took the lead, it was, 7-10 to go in the game, and the game was in the 60s. And I'm thinking to myself, this is a pretty good pace for us.
I agree.
If we're going to be able to try to steal it. And like I said, you know, proud of the way that our guys played and fought and competed and battled. But I know they're disappointed because they believe they could have won as well.
I was going to ask you that. When you guys took that lead and the place is going nuts and you've been in the game the entire time, but you finally take the lead on them, like, what's going through your mind on the sideline in that moment?
How do we get a stop on the next possession? You know, how can we get back in transition? I mean, you're not sitting there soaking it in. Obviously, you could hear the roar of the crowd. Right. The crowd was unbelievable all night long. We had a great turnout from Pittsburgh. They were loud. They were energetic from the start of the game. Obviously, the team gave them something to rally around, but they were awesome. And you're just thinking about how we can try to get that next stop, that next possession.
I thought watching the game here that, you know, you brought up the pace of it. I thought the first 20 minutes, even though you trailed by four, I thought the game was played probably the exact way you wanted it played.
I think 32 possessions in that first half, you know, right, which so for them is uncanny.
Bingo. So it's 40-36. You've got no guys other than one player in foul trouble. I honestly thought you – I can't believe I'm going to say this. I thought you were going to beat them. I really did at that point.
I told our team at half I thought we were down four, and I didn't even think we played particularly well. You know what I mean? And so, you know, like, I think guys started to rally behind that and rally around that. And, you know, again, there was a lot of moments in time where I thought, okay, this is, you know, what are we going to be running late game to try to win it? Because I thought we were going to be right there.
Did you think that both teams really not making a lot of threes or a high percentage threes? Do you think that helped or hurt you guys overall in this game?
Well, I mean, I think we needed to make some just because of their ability to protect the rim with the size they have.
Yep.
And obviously part of our game plan was not allow them to make a bunch. And I thought they had four at the half. I don't know what they finished with exactly. I know Sears hit a big one in front of their bench.
They were 6-21. They were 6-21.
Yeah. Diabate hit one late in the shot clock, which was a big one. You know, so I think being able to do that, I think certainly helped us. I thought our guys flew around defensively as much as they could, but obviously there was a couple that really stick out to you where you wish you could get them back.
Would you have signed up for that for them, 6-21 from three?
Yeah, all day.
Yeah.
All day, every day. You know, I think there were some things that we could have done better in terms of trying to force them into some tough twos, but their offense is so analytically driven. You know, they don't shoot any of those pull-ups, so you really got to get them late into a shot clock for them to shoot those, and they don't get late in the shot clock very much. So holding them to six threes, even the 21 attempts is a good number for us. They usually attempt, you know, much more than that. So I think that's just a credit to the way we were guarding on the perimeter.
It was harder to pay attention to the second half of the game because I was on the air, Andy. Obviously, I'm watching you guys play your asses off and go bucket for bucket and possession for possession with them. What was the officiating like in the second half? Like, did they let enough stuff go where maybe it helped them, or was the game called tight? Like, from your perspective, how did you think that factored into the way the game got played from your end of things?
Is this someone on this line? You know, it's not the reason that we lost the game, but, you know, we took the lead with 7 minutes to go, and I think it was 7-1 after that in fouls. And so, you know, that's one of the things that's hurt. And I'm not saying we didn't foul guys or didn't grab guys or hold guys or whatever, but I'm not completely sure the consistency of those, right? And so, you know, they were able to get some possessions where I thought we defended pretty well, you know, and then they get to the free throw line and are able to kind of just build a lead. So, you know, those are frustrations, but that's part of it, you know, and you got to be able to handle it. You got to be able to adjust, and you got to be able to try to make the plays that are needed to be made in order to beat a team like Alabama in the NCAA tournament.
You said you were proud of your team. What about this 40-minute dogfight is the thing you're proudest of with them, Andy?
Just they never stopped fighting. I mean, they never stopped fighting. They never stopped trying to be there for each other. You know, I said in the post-game press conference, and I told a team in the locker room, I think this is the best team in Robert Morris history.
Yeah.
26 wins, which is tied for a program record. That's happened three times
league.
In program history.
In a tougher
In
league.
The Horizon League, a regular season championship, a postseason conference tournament championship, and obviously the way that we just, you know, represented today, history. And I'm sure I'll get some text messages from some of the former guys that have been following us closely, but I think it'd be hard to argue. And so, you know, that's what I'm really proud of. The other thing I'm really proud of, and I said this as well, is that these guys truly became a team. And I think that, you know, like, I love teams. I think teams are the greatest thing ever. I've been on a team since I'm 4 years old and always want to be a part of a team. And these guys sacrificed, came together, grew a connection, grew a trust, and they truly were a team. And that doesn't happen all the time anymore in college athletics or professional athletics. And so to be a small part of that just brings such a sense of pride to me and to this program.
When we talked on Sunday when the bracket came out and you saw you were in Cleveland, you told me Dickerson was going to play his ass off like you'd never seen before because he was a Cleveland kid. He scored 25 for you. Clairvoyant on your part? Like I said, I wasn't able to watch the entire second half play for play, but the box score says the guy basically played maybe the game of his life today.
Yeah, I mean, we were down 10. We called a timeout with 12:39 to go in the game. He basically went on an 8-0 run. And all of a sudden, that place was on fire. And, you know, he plays with such a passion and energy and intensity to him. He's such a great competitor. You know, he laid it all on the line, and I knew that he would. I mean, anywhere we went, he was going to do that. It just makes it a little more special that it was in Cleveland.
Yeah, and I thought that was big from when I was watching closely in the first half. You kind of hinted at this. They'd go on a mini run and get it to 8 or 9. And in those situations, 2:15, all right, is this the beginning of a team going up big? And then you guys would cut it back to 3 or 4, and it was that kind of push and pull for a lot of the game, and I thought he was a huge catalyst for that. We've got Andy Toole on the line with us here after Robert Morris plays a great game, loses to Alabama 90-81. What did you learn about yourself this season, Andy, as a coach?
That's a hell of a question. I don't know. I don't know what I learned, but I think that, you know, after you have a bad year last year, sometimes even as a coach, your confidence can be shaken. And I think in some ways, you know, these guys inspired me to try to do the best I could for them, and hopefully I did that. And you know, that I still have an idea what I'm doing. Maybe that's what I learned this year. Maybe you get a little bit of confidence back when you have a year like this.
Well, I'm not saying you were down bad or that you were, like, you know, had a crisis of confidence, but you're saying, like, after last year, before this season happened, there was maybe some second guessing that went on.
Yeah, you spend so much time, energy, and effort in this.
Exactly.
Building a team now, especially year to year. And, you know, we thought we had put together some good pieces last year, but we just couldn't get them to come together. And I think as a coach, you know, can you maximize the group is the question you ask yourself at the end of a year. And so when there's a year that you feel like you left some stuff on the table, as a coach, that's a hard pill to swallow because you pride yourself on being able to do just that, get the maximum out of the group. And last year, I was not able to do that. I don't think our record was reflective of the talent and some of the ability that we had in our locker room. Maybe I'm wrong, and maybe that's being a little bit pigheaded in terms of my evaluation of it. But, you know, I took a lot of onus on myself and my inability maybe to get that group more connected. And then, you know, these guys came along and, you know, they brought the vision of our team to life. And that was something that was fantastic.
Andy, when you're at your level and you don't win a tournament game, even though you were right in it and you wanted to, and there's 3 or 4 plays, like you're saying, sequences where, like, damn, if we execute here, if a call goes the other way, we can win. Can a close loss like this be like a moral victory where it's a catalyst for the program, even though you don't win? Do you view this as like a launching point for a new era of Robert Morris basketball, basically?
I mean, I hope so. I mean, I think 10 years ago, it would have been absolutely a catalyst. I think now with all the instability in college athletics, it's hard to look at it that way. But certainly, you know, if you look at my phone after the game, there was a lot of people that took note of how we played and what we were about. And hopefully that can continue to have us build and attract the right people here for us to be, you know, a competitive championship-chasing team on a yearly basis.
So at the end of things, Andy, like, big picture, what did this season mean to you then?
It means everything. I mean, every season means everything. You know, it's you know, you're laying everything on the line. You're pouring your heart and soul into everything. And so for all that hard work to be rewarded with the season that we had, it means everything. And I thanked each and every one of those guys in that locker room today after the game was over for, you know, the effort they put forth. You know, it's not always easy. It's not always fun. I'm not always, you know, the nicest guy to be around. But those guys kept the things that mattered the most in the front of their vision, and that was trying to figure out how to win games. And, you know, for that, I'm forever thankful to them.
Well, you entertained us thoroughly over the last month. There were billboards all over town that said the best show in town, and given the state of a lot of other Pittsburgh sports teams, I thought that was absolutely true, and didn't disappoint today, man. I watched all 40 minutes, and you were there till the end, and you captured everybody's attention back in Pittsburgh with the way you guys fought hard and played today. So can't wait to watch you again next season, Andy, and we'll be in touch, brother. Thank you.
Appreciate it, man.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-based insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.